Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
We kick off tonight with the four-letter word millions and millions of people have been talking about over the last few days, Kony. The video Kony 2012, produced by the campaign organisation Invisible Children, was posted on YouTube, Vimeo, last Monday. Within 2 days, 11 million people had watched it. Tonight, not even a week later, it's recorded nearly 68 million hits on YouTube alone. It's a very powerful and very slick video with a simple aim: to set a precedent for international justice with the arrest of Joseph Kony, the Ugandan rebel leader and warlord whose so-called Lord's Resistance Army is accused of killing tens of thousands of people and enlisting children as soldiers and sex slaves. As the days have gone on over this past week, there has been, in this internet age, an inevitable backlash against Invisible Children, calling into question their transparency and accountability, to which the group has given a detailed response. Kony 2012 has been a stunning example of the power of social media, which we'll deal with in a moment with one who's been at the cutting edge of how it's all taken off. For now, I wanted to get an insight into Joseph Kony. His story is not new, but also the power, the passion, and the controversy, we have to say, of the Invisible Children organisation. Joining us is Kim Vanden Hengel, who's had extensive contact with the African continent and whose family has had an intimate knowledge of Invisible Children with the work of her daughter, Christina. Kim, welcome to Open House.
Thanks, Lee.
It's great to see you. Can we begin by putting together a sketch of Joseph Kony and his Lord's Resistance Army? As I said, his story is not new.
No, he's been around for a long time, and it really began in the politics of Uganda, where the Acholi people in the north felt marginalized, and President Museveni, who is still the president of Uganda, there really was a lot of conflict within the country. And out of that dissatisfaction, Joseph Kony emerged and quickly showed unscrupulous behavior with regard to local populations, where children were abducted and were taken away and were brutalized and forced to kill.
The video says the army is something in the order of 30,000 children. He kidnaps them, turning girls into sex slaves, the boys into child soldiers. Many of them are forced to kill their own parents. What is the Lord's Resistance Army on about?
Well, it's a remnant of that now, Lee. It's not that large group of people. So many of those children have come back into the north of Uganda and have been or are being rehabilitated and reintegrated into Ugandan society. Uganda is not the same country as it was.
No.
He is now just a rump element, and possibly in the Central African Republic, certainly has been in northern DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo, southern Sudan. And he has perhaps a couple of hundred fighters now, but is still terrorizing local populations and is a very transient figure, keeps moving, on the move all the time, and doesn't communicate electronically anymore.
What do you know of what he does, the atrocities?
Well, really now I can speak about, I've worked a lot in DR Congo, and even two Christmases ago, there were terrible massacres of villagers in the northeast of the country. I read a recent witness of a grandfather who saw all of his family killed. Now, I'm a grandmother. Just to watch your family killed from the bushes is unimaginable. That sort of terror that inflicted on local populations who've done nothing for Kony or against Kony is arbitrary, but it's really about, it's attention seeking, and it's to make populations afraid.
Why is it that he therefore has been allowed to run riot, both in Uganda, in the African continent, but also with powers like the United States? How come they let him off?
Well, people have tried to catch him, and there have been attempts by the Ugandan army to nail him quite recently, within the last couple of years. But he slipped away, and he is a very good bush fighter, a good guerrilla tactician, and he has just slipped away and has still, to this point, not been able to be located and caught.
There's been this amazing response on social media, and also somewhat predictably, as I said, quite a backlash against the Invisible Children organisation who put the video together. So they say he hasn't been in Uganda for the past 6 years.
No, that is exactly what is considered to be true.
There are also questions about the accountability and transparency of Invisible Children, that only a third of their money ever goes on helping anyone, third goes on travel, and a third goes on producing this documentary.
Or documentaries, many documentaries over several years, nine years. Certainly I was at the mother end of that, seeing our own daughter get involved and become a very passionate advocate for the capture and indictment of this criminal, really. So it has always been a cutting-edge, media-savvy organization using the power of film to tell a story. Now, I'm not speaking on their behalf tonight.
No.
But I'm speaking from, as an observer, from the outside, but getting to know many of the young, passionate people who have volunteered their time, not paid, volunteered their time to carry out this awareness-raising amongst young populations, high school and university students.
But you've also done your own work.
Yes.
Looking into their finances.
Yes, I was very interested because our daughter was working for them.
Yes.
And so I wanted to see whether they were a reliable organization. So this is several years ago, 3 years ago, went online and looked at their accounts, saw that they did file tax statements with the Internal Revenue Service in the United States. And I was satisfied. They didn't pretend to be anything they weren't. They were about advocacy, media, and in-country projects, and very upfront about that.
The video is aimed at sparking direct military intervention and justice. It may be that if they are successful, Joseph Kony is killed. Is that warranted? Would you be personally comfortable with that?
Well, I believe all sorts of leaders who have committed atrocities against their own people should be held accountable. And Joseph Kony falls into that space, number one on a list of indicted leaders. I think of Pol Pot. I've just come back from Cambodia, who was really not held accountable. Right. I think as a global society, we should be holding such people accountable for their behavior, no matter how long it takes to get them to The Hague to be tried.
Or killed. Again, are you comfortable with that?
I am. Does violence beget violence? I think it does. Does he live by the gun and die by the gun? Perhaps. I don't think he'll hand himself in a hurry.
No.
So we know that the Ugandan army is being resourced with US advisors to try to locate him. And would he come peacefully? Perhaps he values his life more. Often these people who terrorize others, in the end, they don't want to die. And so perhaps he wouldn't. Perhaps he would come.
Here's another question. With those who've produced this video and to whom it's been directed, are we talking about a white savior kind of mentality of black people?
There's a lot of noise on Facebook and in the blogs online about that. And I think as anyone with white skin would tell you, that you carry the burden of the colonial legacy with you into any space of doing good. And you have to be aware of it. I think there's a whole lot of scope for criticism of Kony 2012 around that. But then you have to look at the intention of the person's heart. And I don't believe for a moment that Jason would want to carry that.
This is Jason Russell.
Jason Russell, yes, one of the three founders. A heart for good, but the capacity to be misunderstood. And I think as I've seen it time and time again and felt it time again, that power imbalance that history takes with it down the years. And I was reading a Ugandan blogger today who was really saying, "No, I'm really uncomfortable with white people saying they're going to save us and fix our country." That is inappropriate. If that's the message that's coming across through that DVD, that is wrong. That isn't helpful. But I think and would hope that it isn't, and that it is able to be filtered through to the intention to bring someone who has inflicted so much pain on others to justice.
Do you think it is likely that this video in 2012, because that's the time limit, will bring an end to Joseph Kony's activities, maybe Kony himself?
Who knows? Yeah. I think it's it's a moot point. I guess it's a call to action. It's about the urgency. Oftentimes the years go by, the 26 years go by, and there's a sense, and especially with young people, that why can't we do something about this? So it may be a simplistic solution, but I think all around the world, we work to hold criminals to account for war crimes and crimes against humanity. And this is just another example. Yes, there's a deadline. There's a 2012 December 31 deadline. Why not have a deadline if it calls us and moves us to action as a whole society, as a global community?
So if he is captured, do you think that will be the end of the Lord's Resistance Army? That's the question.
Yes, I think they're a very small group of people. However, in DR Congo, you've got militia of all sorts of groups terrorizing populations using rape as a weapon of war. So that's all, that's ongoing as long as you have failed states like DRC. And that's where populations don't have the right to live in peace. And that would be my hope, to see enough security within these nations to allow populations to get on with living and growing and being educated and making a living and having a future.
Have you been surprised at the response, as the Kony video has become perhaps the biggest viral thing yet in the history of the internet?
I'm intrigued. I do think Twitter has a lot to do with it. I think Twitter's a whole new space where we have followers, and those followers then retweet, and there's an amazing power to, it's like a bandwagon, a snowball. It just keeps rolling and growing. And I think Twitter has been a big part of this story, not just Facebook, but Twitter, where you're picking up the followers and you're getting that trending where, which draws attention. Everyone wants to see what's trending. And when something starts to trend, then it trends higher as more people join in the story. So I think it's a new phenomenon, but has an enormous capacity for all sorts of social good.
From your experience with your daughter, why do you think it's so captured young people over this last week?
I think it has always been capturing young people, and young people want to make a difference, want to be mobilized, want to use social media to do it, and a very relationship-oriented, peer-to-peer influence. And so here was something that they were called to do with the April 20 deadline to get out and cover the world with posters. And so there was a very clear call to action, and people can respond to that. It's something very practical they can do.
Kim van den Hegel, thanks very much indeed for joining us on Open House.
You're welcome.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.